Welcome, everybody, to the Stoke It Up podcast, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and I am your host, and we want to help you kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you. Within every believer, God has something in store that he is stirring up, and we want to challenge you to be all that God has for you according to his great commission plan in Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is to go make disciples of all nations and teach them all the things that he taught his disciples. And we have something in store for you today that is very special. A unique episode of the Stoke It Up podcast. Today, we have some of my friends who I'm going to let introduce themselves. We're going to be doing periodic episodes on the mini series called The Chosen. And today it's called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and where you do your podcast. Share this thing around. Help us create community because we want to equip you to stoke up other people in their faith walk. So let's jump in. Let me let you meet the crew called The Chosen. I am here with some of my friends who I'm calling The Chosen. The team chose, I don't know what we call ourselves. The good, the bad, the ugly today of the chosen. The good would be you ladies, and the bad and the ugly is me and Tim. But honestly, that'll be the way we guide our conversation today. But why don't you take 1 minute and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, I'll go first. My name is Renee. I live in New Mexico. And what was the other thing, Alan?
How did you become a Christian?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, it started out when I was 9 years old. However, I didn't start walking with the Lord until my late 20s, very early 30s. And that's when I started my relationship.
Amen. Tim?
My name is Tim Ebert. Born and raised Casper, Wyoming, moved to Ruidoso in 2014, became a Christian on a mission trip, have been walking with the Lord ever since, and just love my walk with Jesus.
Amen.
Married to an amazing wife that makes me a much better man than I ever could have been.
Amen. I'll amen that. Go ahead.
My name's Elise Elsenboss, and I am also here in New Mexico. I'm originally from Connecticut, and I got saved through listening to Caleb and hearing someone's story, and I pulled over on the side of the road and gave my life to the Lord that way, and continued my walk here, you know, just getting involved in the church and Bible studies and really digging in, and that's really where real growth happened.
Amen to that.
Once I got involved.
And I'm Alan, of course, and I gave my life to the Lord in 1988, the late spring. I was in church and just realized that Jesus loved me. I could still be forgiven. I didn't think that was a possibility. And God just revealed himself that day. It was kind of like when in the first episode of The Chosen, when Jesus, the Lord comes up beside behind Mary. It was just a divine appointment. Mm-hmm. And so what's going on here, here at the Stoke It Up podcast is I decided, hey, we need to have something else besides church growth things and things that stoke up evangelism and missions and evangelism. And we're going to still do those things. But I wanted to do something. I thought of you guys because I thought it would be great if we did a podcast and when season 3 shows up and we do it each night after the release of each episode to come on and do a quick review of it and post it out and just get people talking. Plus, The Chosen has become very beloved to many of us, but it's also got some quirks, and it's also some people just straight up can't stand it and they're very anti toward it. I want to discuss that. There is no holds barred in this conversation. We're not trying to offend anybody, but we're not trying to powder cake it either. So we're going to just go for it. Now The Chosen, is an amazing show to me. I really love the show. It's been a blessing. It's really, when we were praying, I said it changed my life. Jesus changed my life, but The Chosen has changed the way I look at the Christian life, and maybe be a better way of saying it. But here's the format that we're going to follow just for this initial podcast. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There's some hard things with The Chosen, but let's start with the good. How has The Chosen influenced the way you see yourself as a disciple? Any one of you, just jump in. I mean, the way you see your walk with Christ, how has it enhanced your walk with Jesus?
Go ahead, Tim.
I love how I can see how, which I've already read about it because, you know, I've read the Bible, but I love actually seeing it, having a eyes on, so to speak, and a visual of how Jesus walked into each one of the basically scoundrels like me and said, look, follow me. And realizing that every day of my walk will be exactly that way. I have a choice to follow Jesus or follow the world.
So you're saying the visual, is that what you said?
Yeah, it's neat to watch the visual of how they portrayed. And yes, they had to fill in some lines because the Bible didn't say, then he turned to Matthew. It's, you know, they had to do some what you would call Hollywood stuff. But the fact is I think it's very close to the basis of what it would have been like.
What do you think, Elise?
Yeah, I have to agree. It really gives you like a feel for the disciples. And I think it makes it really relatable to people that aren't familiar with the Bible. So it makes it an easy introduction to people. So if you have someone that's like, oh, you know, the Bible's not my thing, you can bring them into it like, hey, let's watch a show together. So it makes it really easy to introduce the Bible to someone that's not, you know, someone that knows God or someone that's maybe fallen away from God. And they're like, oh, you know, I church hurt me or this or that. And you can kind of be like, hey, I've got this really cool show. I want to share it with you. And you can bring them into it. And then the fact that it does bring the Bible to life in a way that, you know, does add these characters that you're like, hey, this person I feel connected to in this way or that way. Which you do get from reading the Bible, but so many people don't because they're intimidated by it, or they don't even realize, like when I first became a Christian, I didn't even realize there were so many versions that are understandable. I thought there was only the King James version. And I was like, I don't know what they're saying, you know? So you can really take someone and like show them, hey, look at this is real life, what we experience now, even though it was so long ago, like you can relate to these people.
Did you guys watch that piece of it that was in the last special that had the little mini draw documentary on the girl from the Eastern Bloc? It was amazing.
But she wasn't the one that was trafficked, was
yes.
she?
She was trapped.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
That tore my heart out. And what really stuck out to me, to go with what Elisa just said, is that those ladies used The Chosen to possibly open that lady's heart to Christ. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Man, I was in tears. It was such a beautiful story.
It was.
Oh my goodness. It was a beautiful story of
how you watched it, Tim?
No, I'm like,
I know you've been busy. It's only about 15 to 20 minutes long. And it is so powerful. I'll send you a link after this so you don't have to go looking for it. Renee, how has it changed or influenced The Chosen, how you see yourself as a disciple?
I think what it has done for me, seeing the disciples as human and not, you know, they've studied all their life. They've studied the Torah, right? And I think it brings it to so that it makes it easier for me to start a conversation. It's very similar to what Elise was saying, you know, hey, I've got this cool show, I'd love for you to watch it. But you could so relate to it that you can relate someone else's story to their story. So it helps making that discipleship a little more easier.
I would, and I'll lead this into a question, the next question, but I watch the show and I see myself.
Oh, me too.
And yeah. I just see, I want to say, I watched Left Behind with Kirk Cameron, the original one, the other day. Well, before I left Ruidoso, I think it was. And it was horrible compared to the production that they do now, that Dallas Jenkins does with this mini series. It was terrible. I loved Left Behind. I was like the guy on it. Now, I love the message. But as I watched The Chosen, here's the interesting piece. People will, I know, and listen, let me stop here and say, we're not hating on anyone that criticizes The Chosen. We don't need to do that. We're not trying to do that. We all have our opinions. Go ahead. We're fine. But we are going to be strong. I want to bring some clarification. Like, I watched something on the app just a few minutes, well, before I went to church. No, before I went through lunch. And Dallas Jenkins cleared some of this up on the app as far as what The Chosen believes, because people are just killing them. Some people are just killing them with, they'll say, well, this wasn't in the Bible. And so, like, let me read you something that I got off the internet just today. And I'm not going to call the guy's name because I know him. He's a pastor type. He's I went to seminary with him. Says this: don't give in and watch The Chosen. Your imagination will forever be shaped by the visceral potency of a cinematic interpretation of Bible narratives. Can I just stop there and say that's preacher-fied anyway? And it will therefore be much more difficult to allow the words of Scripture to shape your imagination. And then he says this: God gave us words. But let me throw something out for you guys to think about. When they paint, I think this is way off. I think what this guy's saying, way off. Because would we say that about the Passion of the Christ? No.
I wouldn't, right.
And were there things in the Passion of the Christ that I disagreed with? Yes.
Yes.
But I'm not going to, I want to, they did such a great job in The Passion of the Christ of showing, especially the scourging. I mean, that was incredible. You can't get the, now, was that the picture of the Bible? No, but it was an attempt to give us a good visual. I don't think the visual does what this brother here says. When they put things that are not in the Bible, what Dallas Jenkins says is, they want to, they're using Scripture and history, and they are doing that as well as you could possibly expect. Now, are they getting every contextual thing right? No, they're going to get to heaven and God's going to go, you guys really blew all this. But I think God would say, but I get what you were trying to do. So I think he'll say, job well done. But we'll all be going, oh, it really didn't go like that. Thomas didn't, you know, believe when the water was turned to wine. We don't know that. But did Thomas come to know the Lord? Yes. Was that event in the Bible? Yes. Were there contextual things that happened that can be painted? Yes. And that's what brings this thing to life, is they paint it with not only that. You remember when Peter's in one of the episodes, he said, well, I'll go to town and I'll make this happen. And then Andrew's standing over there and he's going, pick me, pick me. Remember that? And then Peter goes, if you'll stop doing that. And it's little things like that that they put in to show that they're real. It means nothing right there, but it shows us these were real people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So
and you know the what? There,
yes,
there
jump in.
There weren't a lot of arguments in the Bible that they had, but there was a place where they specifically said they were grumbling amongst one another.
Right.
And, you know, I think they portrayed it great. You know, they argued. They're human. They were humans. They weren't perfect right off the bat. They were never perfect, but they walked with Jesus, and they learned a lot from him and were sent.
I think Dallas Jenkins takes risks. And some of those cause me pause. I'll be honest. They cause me some pause. But none of them have crossed the line yet to where I'm going to write it all off. And here's the thing. If we have a preacher that does context in a church that we don't know about, y'all have heard preachers do that before. Preacher paints a picture. We don't know that was in the Bible. He's just trying to paint a picture of what it might've looked like. We don't jump up and down on that.
Right. No.
But now we're going to kill Dallas Jenkins on this. So here's another piece. How do you respond to how the producers of The Chosen add things in that are not necessarily in the scripture? So let me just keep our conversation on this going. What are you guys sitting there thinking right now about it? Is it a big deal? Not a big deal?
I think for me, a lot of it, I feel like, one, we don't know every single detail of everything that happened. You know, because, I mean, every single moment of every single day is not detailed in the Bible. Otherwise, we would not be able to carry around a Bible. It would be
right.
You know, so we don't know every single, like, tidbit of information. So, you know, filling in those little gaps to make it something that people can relate to, you know, you have to. And I mean, even when you read the Bible yourself, to be able to, picture a situation, you know, you might sit and be like, okay, well, what, you know, what is that, you know, even yourself. So, you know, or trying to put yourself in a situation, you know, to try to understand what's happening here, you know, or what was this time like, what were they going through, you know, to try to understand something. So it's the same type of thing. So, I mean, like you said, it's nothing like they're making up something that's contradicting something in the Bible or something like egregious, you know? So I feel like it's not like, oh my gosh, this is something horrible you're doing. You know, to each their own opinion, of course, but I feel like there's nothing so wrong or so bad about it. And I've seen so much good come of it and so many great stories, like the one that we just talked about a minute ago with that one woman, and so many other people that are able to relate to it because of the realisticness of it, you know.
How about this? Let me get you guys to respond to this. A lot of people got in an uproar about Jesus preparing a sermon. I mean, people flipped out. Facebook almost crashed that night. People were livid that Jesus, the Son of God, would have to prepare a sermon. What's your response to that, though? I'd be interested to see what you guys say.
I didn't have any issues with it. I looked at it as it was just part of the show. Yes, Jesus knows everything, but at the same time, this isn't based, the whole every second of the show is not based on, like Elise said, on every little second. Jesus probably didn't need to do that. He probably knew exactly what he was going, well, he did. I mean, he knew everything. He knew what he was going to say. I didn't have an issue with it. With all that saying all that, I didn't have an issue with it. I thought it was kind of funny.
Tim, what do you think?
I didn't have an issue with it on that one particular part. I was thinking of the part where John the Baptist comes up to Jesus in the movie and says, you know, I'm fixing to tell Herod something. I thought it was perfect. You know, of course they had conversations like that. Was that conversation in the Bible? No, but you know what? Neither was every meal that they shared. But I'm sure that they probably ate every day. So it was kind of neat to see how they grew with one another, having meals with one another, as well as the arguments. Well, he's over here healing the multitudes of people. And here they are bickering, blah, 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 you know. And he comes back and they're like, oh my gosh, how little I feel right here. Mm-hmm. You know what? When they see, this is what it's really truly what it is to follow Jesus, is to have a heart for someone.
Right. I wish, Alan, that pastor could see the positive instead of trying to find the negative, because there are so many X-rated, R-rated, pornography type stuff out there. Why can't he say, okay, it is based on the Bible, but not everything that is in it is in the Bible, but it is definitely something you and your family can watch together.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen any bad theology. Now, it's probably some of my friends will hear that and go, man, you're not listening. But when I go, were there any cardinal doctrines that have been breached? Even with Jesus preparing the sermon, I thought about that. I thought this is just the Stoddard version. We're unfiltered on this show. So I think it's arrogant for any of us to go, Jesus wouldn't have prepared. He was fully God and he did know it all. At the same time, he was fully man, and we cannot understand that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And, yeah, I agree.
And then to me, on a lower level, and what are they trying to communicate? That we ought to prepare the word of God. That's what I thought about. I thought, good for you, Dallas, that you, whether we know that happened or not, we don't know. But that's a good, risky application. And here's what Haddon Robinson said. Robinson said this. He said there's more heresy often in context, in application, excuse me. So in other words, when preachers apply the Bible or teachers, we apply it, we usually apply it wrongly. But then he said this, but there's more application found in the context of a passage than there might be in the text itself. And what he means is you dig around and you look at the time they were in, and you go, oh, here's the application, because that shows you how they lived out the theological truth. And we do that every weekend. We do it in all of our small group life and the churches in America. Go ahead, Tim.
I think you can definitely say that there was a closeness between Jesus and the disciples. But of course, there's a possibility that he could have spoke and said, you know, I've got all the content in my mind. What do you think, Matthew? Oh, gosh, it seems a little harsh if you hack at him like that and just hack at him. Why don't we start out with something that lifts him up a little bit? That's not a bad idea. Definitely, I have all the content in my mind because I'm fully God and fully human. And I'm taking a human's point of view just into my own acquisition of how I would do this.
That's really good, Tim. Love that. When we talk out these things, here's what happens. I hope this conversation will stoke up some more people in the next season. What it makes us do is it makes us theologize, or it makes us think doctrinally or biblically. For example, people will say, well, you know, people are going to see the chosen. They're going to think that's the word of God. First of all, I don't think anybody's going to do that. But I don't think they're going to say that's the word of God. Now, okay, let's say I'm wrong on that. Well, that drives them to the word of God.
Right.
There ought to be somebody around that drives them, that we explain these. Hey, that really wasn't in the Bible, was it? No, it wasn't. Yeah. What's up with that? And we get a chance to explain to them. But what got them interested is the Chosen, the episode. Yeah.
And you know what? It also, I think watching the Chosen also, there's been times when I've gone to the Bible to read what it says.
Yeah.
So it does draw you to the Bible. It draws you in to say, where was that? I want to see where that was. I want to read that. And that's when you go in, you mark it, you date it, this is when it was.
I love it.
Exactly. And the thing about it, kind of like what Renee's saying, is, you know, and what Alan just said, is he was fully human. He was fully, you know, God. And so he would want, you know, what's to say he wouldn't want to, it does say in the Bible, he did go off and he did pray. He did also teach the disciples. So it kind of shows both of that to us. It shows, you know, the humanness of Jesus. It shows, you know, that those relational aspects, but then, you know, like Renee was saying, for someone that is more of a seasoned Christian, it's like the icing on the cake. It's like the dessert for us. You know, that's how this show is. And then for someone that's new to God, it's like the appetizer for us, because then they're like, hey, you know, what is this? What are they, you know, is this something even in the Bible, or what is that story, you know? And then they want to even find out about it. Mm-hmm. We might know the story, but then we're like, hey, is that detail in there? And when we're just looking at that detail, you know, so it can go on either side.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
When I see the scene where Jesus comes out of the tavern and Mary is, he calls her by name. It brings an emotion to me, not because I've read of that scene in the Bible, because I identify with my own salvation and how I was wandering through the sterileness of this world and the draw of this world.
That's
and
so good.
All the desires of the world. And then Jesus found me in that muck and the mire. And I turned around just like her. And he says, I have called you by name. I get weepy because I identify with when I was called by Jesus. And I turned to him and he saved me. And all was changed in my life. And it's continued to be changed in my life.
I think we all feel that way, Tim. That at the end of that show, oh my gosh, I was I've got tears.
I still get that way.
I do. Yeah. I do. It doesn't matter how many times you watch it.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing that he has called each and every one of us by name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You relive your salvation experience. And let me just throw in one more time and then I'll push us forward a little, because we're talking about the good with its challenges is really the way this section's coming out. But everything context is application for me. Everything contextual that's not in the Bible directly, but it's contextually New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's application for me.
Yeah.
In other words, that scene with Mary, we know that didn't happen like that.
Right.
But we know Mary got saved somewhere.
Yes.
And the drama in it is still spiritual in the aspect that the Spirit converted her. So now, if it's not doctrinal, by the way, if there's a doctrinal flaw, I am willing to call out the chosen. I get that people have some caution. So I want to throw that out again. We're not trying to hate on that. Go ahead. Right.
I want to add to that, because, you know, it showed where Jesus meets us. He meets us, just like Tim said, in that muck. Jesus met her where she was, and we don't know where she was.
Right.
But that kind of gives us, what was she turning to? She was turning to something else to try to forget, to try to hide, or what do people do when they drink? What is the reason
why they try and fill that hole in their heart?
They're trying to suppress that feeling of loneliness, I think, or failure, or something like that. And that's where he meets us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that.
It's just like when they find a way to lower their friend through the tiles of the roof of the house, I start weeping, because these are places in the Bible that I've read through, and I've often, of course they walked along, of course he had crowds around him, you know, oh wait a minute, there was only 18 people there, you have 23 people there, come on folks, it's a representation of the Bible unfolding, there's supposed to be a little mystery to it, you know, we would love to have the exact footprint of every single place that Jesus ever went. But the truth is he, like I said, he ate, he talked with other people. He had amazing conversations with his disciples that aren't in the Bible, but we know that he had them, because they didn't just sit around and say, Okay, next scene is, yes, the lady's going to come in and wash my feet with her anointed oil, her oil, and her alabaster jar will be broken, and this Curenard will be, you know, these things happen between those. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So let me shove us forward and ask you guys this. Where do you struggle? Let's look at we're looking at some of the good. The good is the stuff we're saying, and we're kind of defending it. Where do you struggle with the chosen? You personally, doesn't have to be something either ugly or egregious, but where do you go, this does give me a little call, any pause? Any, you guys got anything like that? You don't have to. I just thought I'd ask.
I would say my pause is, why didn't they have the baptism of Jesus? Okay, sorry.
Amen. I'm hoping that is a flashback somewhere.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. I think that would be a good one too. I don't have anything, because I know what type of show it is. I don't have anything wrong with it. I don't have any struggles with it. Not at this time.
Yeah, I don't really have any struggles. I think at first, you know, I will say it gave me a little pause at first when I found out about the set that they were using, and that it belonged for the Mormon season. Yeah, that it had belonged to the Mormons. And so I was kind of like, ooh.
Let's shift over to that. This is what I call the ugly, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what I mean by ugly, I just mean that we have some challenges. And I'm glad, actually. Until Dallas Jenkins totally goes overboard, I'm in. But I'm like that with everybody.
You didn't have to pay for the set.
The Mormon influence, and then there's the Catholic influence.
Right.
And then there's Jewish influence. And then what about, Tim mentioned it, you know, it could be Hollywood-ish. Mm-hmm. What they're producing now is high quality stuff.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So it kind of gives you a little bit polished influence there. And what do you guys, let's leave the Mormon influence alone for a minute. What do you think of the Catholic Jewish influence? You okay with that? You know, they bring into those little round tables.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have watched them. I've watched all those, and I think they're great, but it's risky because some people are going to go, why are you partnering with Jews or Messianic Jews, which we would get why they do that, or Catholics?
Well, I think the Catholics, I mean, they're known as the first church, right? And so, yes, right. And so I think getting them in there, but you know what's even better than that? And I know this is the part of the ugly part, but you're getting them involved, and hopefully they're able to see the truth through getting them involved.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I was even going. I know you wanted to get away from the Mormon, but that's kind of even where I was going with that, is like having that, even though it kind of gives you pause, it's kind of like, there is a reason for it. I feel like, you know, like it happened, you know, it all came together for that reason. And who knows why it all came together that way? Because what if some of the people involved in that get to see the show and are like, hey, let me see what's going on here. And then actually really come to know God through it.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
You know,
I was thinking more of this. I was thinking that, you know, we of the Bible crowd, we love Catholics when it comes to pro-life issues because they are so pro-life. As a conservative Bible guy, I've brought these things up, and the first person to stand up on issues of life and will be the Catholic. He'll always stand up first. He or she will go, yep, we're in. And we're okay with that because we're going to get their vote. But now all of a sudden we want to hate on them because of their supposed influence. But I have not seen anything, maybe a little something that was Catholic, maybe. And it wasn't enough to drive me out or anything. It was during one of the Christmas specials with the shroud. The cloth, the only thing.
Oh yeah.
And we don't know that that didn't happen in the Bible, by the way. We don't know all that, but I haven't seen the heavy influence of Catholicism.
No, I haven't.
We have a Jewish aspect as well as Gentile to our faith, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. First the Jew, and then also to the Greek.
Now the big one is the Mormons. So Dallas had to go and rent their set for the a few things, but the main one was the set for Jerusalem. And now they're building their own set here in Texas. But the Mormon influence, people are saying that it's being produced by Mormons, which isn't true.
Right.
He's come out and said that. I understand people having concern. I think we would all have concern, right? That we don't want Mormon influence in the Chosen.
Right.
But what I don't understand is where's this?
Go ahead, Tim.
I don't understand where's the influence from that set. I mean, did I miss it? Maybe I was.
No, it wasn't. It's not found in the set. What haters are doing, and I shouldn't call them haters.
Some
people are being a little bit too far on him, I think. I mean, Dallas is a brother in the Lord, and he's being risky. He took a risk by using their set for sure. I actually like it. I'll look stupid if Mormon theology gets inserted to this stuff. If Mormon theology and practice gets inserted, I'm going to look ridiculous, and I'll be the first one to go.
I didn't see a baptismal being held up by a bunch of cats. Now, if I'd have seen that, I said, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
But when you listen to Dallas's story on how that set came about and how he was down to the wire, and it was such a God thing about how he got to use that set. And it's such a cool story when he told that story and how like God really made that happen. It just kind of goes to show where, kind of like I said before, I really feel like if God made that happen, then what's to say that there aren't like however many people, even if it's just one Mormon person that was like, hey, what's this show being filmed here? And then goes, checks it out. And then they're like, oh, wow. You know, and then they come to Christ through it. Like, because look at how many people have come to Christ through this show and really got exposed to, you know, the truth because they didn't have that influence or they didn't care to, or they didn't have someone to show them it. And so what if, even if it's just one person that got to experience God through this show because they got to use that set. So I just feel like at first I was kind of like, oh, that was like, that's a Mormon set. What? And then I heard him say that story. I'm just like, well, God made that happen. Like, that's awesome. Like, so there had to have been a reason, you know?
I agree.
I understand not everybody's a risk taker. I understand that. I don't have a kickback on that.
People but you know where me, else?
Hey, man, you're taking risks where you don't need to be taking them biblically or contextually. And I just go, you know what? You may end up being right. But right now, I'm being led to take a risk.
Well, what about all the actors and actresses? I mean, wouldn't he be taking a risk on those who are believers and who are not believers? However, I'm thinking, okay, Jonathan, the guy who plays Jesus.
Yes.
I'm hoping, because he's Catholic, I'm hoping that he is truly getting to learn who Jesus is. I'm hoping that all of the cast members, everybody there is actually getting to learn who Jesus is.
Yeah,
you know, hopefully this will draw them closer to want to get into their Bible and really know who he is.
Now, I'm jumping out here, but I think Jonathan Rumi is a born-again Catholic. I don't know. He may be. I've listened to him, and he's talked with intimacy about the Lord, and I would think that he has now. Yeah, I don't have to go into all that. I don't want to break down.
Me too.
I like that.
Dallas says this. I just watched this afternoon. He says, don't judge the show based on whether the characters are that are not the characters, whether the actors are born again or any influences that you may think. He says, judge the final content. That is, yeah. And he says the final content is what's going to be New Testament gospels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I agree, Renee. I'm with you. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So guys, before we check out, this is fun stuff, and we will be back. But let's have some fun. I wrote down this earlier today in church. Let's add a category: the good, the bad, the ugly, and the fun. How about the merch? Oh my goodness. What's up with Elise and this merch?
Yeah, Elise has way more.
She is the queen of merch.
Wait a minute. Who has the huge ring of fish?
Oh, I've got that here. I'm going to have that hung up pretty soon.
Do you guys have the welcome mat?
No. You have the welcome mat, Renee?
I don't have it. I'm not. I can't pay for that.
Right. You know, I think there's been a renewal I think the movement itself is good for Christianity. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this kind of movement in a long time. I haven't sensed this much good press about Jesus and the church and getting the real story out. Yeah. It's created Christian community.
I love how church merch gives a Christian the opportunity. When I first became a Christian, I couldn't wait to find whatever I could to get on my body to make me a walking billboard for Jesus and forgiveness and John 3:16 and Jesus saves. You name it.
Tim was a revival of Christian t-shirts.
Yes.
Oh man, he revived that for me. It has been great. Well, guys, thanks for being on the podcast today. And we're going to launch this up. This will be Team Chosen. And there'll be more coming for those of you that are listening. And thanks for being a part of the Stoke It Up team, the Stoke It Up podcast, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. I hope that you will subscribe to our channel, wherever you do podcasts, go ahead and subscribe, pass the word around, stoke some things up in your community. And what you do when you stoke it up is no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you just become that person that's going to be encouraging. And that's what we want to do. And so a chosen has been a part of that for all of us. So I thought, let's jump in. We probably will add more and more people in this thread. It could become the Brady Bunch on the screen before you know it. But thank you guys for jumping in, being a part of this. You guys are as crazy as I am. I pray that God will use this. And for those of you that are listening, we will see you in the next episode. God bless.
God bless.